Well, good evening. Merry Christmas. I really cannot see any of you right now. But we are thankful you are here, you have come, and my prayer is over this next hour that we can forget all the nonsense, everything that's going on in our world, and just focus on the true meaning of Christmas and why we celebrate. And I do just want to put out a special thank you to some of the people here at Coleridge Baptist Church who will be singing for you tonight. They've been here for an hour and a half practicing, and it's been a little chaotic, but we're going to pray that everything comes together, and it's just a wonderful evening and time of celebrating and reflecting on the Christmas story. And so let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you just for the opportunity we have to worship you tonight, to be able to lift our voices in song, to be ministered to in music, and even just to look into your word at the Christmas story of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us. We pray your blessing on our service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. When I think about the Christmas story, and I think we go through the Bible, often we think of Luke chapter 2. But the reality is, the Christmas story was told long before. In fact, this morning, one of the first passages of Scripture I'm going to read for you is from the book of Isaiah, which means it was written at least 400 years before the birth of Christ. And we read the following in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Merry Christmas.
Stand with me as we sing Joy to the World.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping?
Chill of midwinter comes now among us, born into poverty's embrace, new life for the world.
Who is this who lives with the lowly, sharing their sorrows, knowing their comfort? This is Christ revealed to the world in the eyes of a child of the poor. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems, while shepherds
the child
watch
of
are
the world.
Keeping.
Who is this who lives with the
Christ,
sharing their
shepherds guard and angels sing?
This is Christ revealed to the
babe, the son of Mary.
So bring
him incense, gold, and myrrh, come peasant
king to own him, the King of kings, salvation rings that loving hearts enthrone him.
Bring the thirsty who seek peace, those with nothing to offer. Strengthen the feeble, say to the frightened heart, fear not, fear not. Who is this? Who lives with Christ, the
sharing
whom shepherds guard and angels sing?
This is Christ revealed to the world in the eyes of a child, a child of man.
scripture this evening in the book of Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
La ciudad entre animales y compañías. En los brazos lo tiene mamá al pequeño que nos guiará. Tal vez pensaron en el mesón, que no era nadie y no había razón para darle una habitación al Mesías, nuestro Salvador. La el niño rey es Emmanuel, prometido desde ayer, el Salvador, no hay ninguno como él. Había en la región que se rodearon de gran resplandor cuando un ángel las nuevas les dio. Ha nacido hoy Cristo el Señor. La el niño rey es Emmanuel, prometido desde ayer, el Salvador, no hay ninguno como él. La voz alzad, nos ha dado salvación, Jesús de Dios, y solo a Él sea la gloria y el honor, sea la gloria y el
chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. We read, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child.
Stand with me, if you will. We will sing O Little Town of Bethlehem.
She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you.
Now that we're in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they were widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them.
Stand again with me, and we will sing, "O Come, All Ye Faithful."
Thank you.
But what a blessing it's been tonight to be able to lift our voices in song and spend time in Scripture reading the story of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I think of a particular passage that we read this evening. In Luke chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. It says, "So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." I think how strange it is that this is how God would choose to have His one and only Son enter into the world. If people would have only understood who this baby boy was. I think of the difference it would have made. You know, I think of the publicity that the royal family gets. Prince William and Kate, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. Can you imagine when it was time for Kate to give birth? If she would have went to the hospital and they would have said, "Sorry, we don't have any room." Even in 2020, even in the midst of a worldwide pandemic, I think they would make room for the Duchess of Cambridge. They would put someone in the hall. They may even clear a whole floor. After all, the baby that would be born would be one of royal blood. And to think, this wasn't the case with Jesus. And Jesus is far greater than anyone from the royal family. The Bible tells us He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The Bible tells us that He is the one who has created all things, and all things were created for Him, and in Him all things hold together. He spoke this very world into existence, yet He would lay in a manger beside the very animals that He created. Yet this was God's plan. No cameras, no fancy delivery room, no special crib. There are only a few people that even realize that this wasn't just your ordinary child. Mary and Joseph, obviously, as the angel had spoken to them before she conceived, they knew it was special. Obviously, the shepherds, as we read tonight, the angels had announced to them that there was something special about this child. But the reality is, the rest of the world had no clue that Jesus had just entered the world as a baby boy. But think about that phrase, "and there was no room for him in the inn." Fast forward to the year 2020. It is through the Bible that we know that this baby was indeed Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He did come to save us from our sins. But I have to wonder about that phrase, "there was no room in the inn." You see, I'm not a big fan of social media. Many of you know that. If you're friends with me on Facebook, you'll see a few passages of Scripture posted from time to time. You don't learn much about all the details of my life and all the things that are going on in my day-to-day. But I skimmed through it from time to time. And actually, one of my classmates from high school had posted this a few weeks ago. And as I read it, I thought, that'll preach. And what was posted is it said, "Each of us is an innkeeper who decides if there's room for Jesus." Think about that phrase for a minute. Each of us is an innkeeper who decides if there's room for Jesus. And it's possible that as you're listening to me tonight online, or even someone here in this room, you have never made room for Jesus. You've allowed all kinds of things to fill your heart. You've been occupied with the pleasures of this world. And I know there have been several times as a pastor, I've shared the gospel message with someone and they refused to accept Jesus because they didn't want to give up the pleasures of this world. They knew that if they accepted Jesus, there would be an expectation that they would have to change the way that they live their lives. But reality is, even as Christians, of those of us who have put our trust in Jesus Christ, who have asked Him to come into our hearts, if we're not careful, we can crowd Him out of our hearts. I think there are times we allow worry to fill our hearts and our minds. The past 7 or 8 months, there have been a few things that you might worry about. Might be worried about the future, might be worried about health, about your children, about your finances. The list can go on and on. But the reality is, worry can consume our minds. And when anything consumes our minds and our hearts, there's no room for Jesus. I think another area that's a possibility that's been an issue in the past year is the area of fear. And we kind of live in a scary world. The reality is, even here in Southwest Florida, on the promised land of palm trees and sandy beaches, you can't turn on the news without hearing of some kind of crime, some kind of theft, some kind of shooting. Not only that, in the past few months, I'm convinced the media wants you and I to live in fear. Fear of a virus. They want us to be afraid to leave our homes, afraid to go to church and worship, afraid to go to the store. And I'm not recommending that anyone be reckless in how they live at this point in time, but we cannot live in fear. Fear will consume us, and when we allow fear to consume us, guess what? There's no room for Jesus. I think greed is another area that can crowd out Jesus Christ. Times when we may want something. We may want something new, a better car, a better place to live, or maybe it's just the fact we think we need more money. The reality is, greed will never be satisfied. We will always want more. We will always be consumed. Consumed with what the stock market is doing. Consumed with what the money that's in our bank account. Consumed with the thought of, oh, we can't spend money on that or this. The reality is, when we are consumed with greed, again, there'll be no room for Jesus. Lastly, tonight, I believe probably all of you are aware of this, but if we allow sin into our lives, it will crowd out Jesus. It will take His place in our hearts. The truth of the matter is, if we've accepted Christ to save us from our sins, our sins will not keep us from getting into heaven, but it will affect our relationship with God. So easy, even as Christians, to get caught up in our fleshly desires and the things that our heart desires for. And as we do so, we push Jesus further and further away. There are a lot of people in the world, a lot of people in churches today who have closet sins. Men who are looking at pornography, others who are just simply struggling with lustful thoughts, others who are having sexual relationships outside of marriage and adulterous relationships. And these are all common amongst even those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. It says we allow those sins into our lives. I guarantee you it's going to push Jesus Christ out, because you're not going to want anything to do with Christ. You're not going to want to have anything to do with other Christians or the church. I think that's why the Bible tells us as Christians that we need to confess our sins. And the great thing about 1 John 1:9, it says that if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And it says we confess those sins, and as we repent, as we turn away from those sins, guess what happens? We create room in our hearts for Jesus. So as we close tonight, I want to ask you, is there room for Jesus in your heart tonight? He's waiting. He's waiting for you to let Him in. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate Christmas than to let Him in. I encourage you tonight, make room. If you never trusted in Christ, please, Christ to save you from your sins, please come and see me afterwards. I'd love to take time and share with you from the Word of God how it is you can accept Christ as your Savior. But for the rest of us, and I just listed off a few things as I sit in my office, I was trying to think, what are some of the things that can distract us and keep Jesus out of our lives? And the reality is, that's just a small list of what can push Jesus out. I would ask you tonight, look into your own hearts and examine what's keeping Jesus out. Whatever it is, it's time to kick him out. It's time to make room for the one who desires to be there the most. And again, I want to read from a crazy Facebook quote as I finish tonight. Tonight, you are the innkeeper, and you will decide if there's any room in your heart for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you for who you are. We thank you as we're really here together on Christmas Eve, and we anticipate just a day of celebrating the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, tomorrow. Lord, we thank you that you would be willing to send him to this world. You'd be willing to send him knowing that he would die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the price that was paid. We thank you for the hope of eternal life because of him. Lord, we just pray now that as we finish tonight, as we conclude, Lord, I pray that if anyone here tonight has not accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, they will do so tonight. They will not go home without talking to someone and then asking Jesus to come into their hearts. And Lord, I just pray for the rest of us, Lord, that we would just take time to reflect on the beauty of the season and the beauty of what it is you've done for us, and our hearts are just prepared to celebrate Christmas tomorrow. Just as we reflect on what it is you've done for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, usually we will tonight close, and we're going to gather around the outside of the auditorium and have some candles and light them and sing Silent Night. There's not that many of us here, but as we're getting candles lit, I'm just going to ask you to go ahead and put on your mask, and then once we get candles lit, we can space out and take the mask off and sing. So if I could get a few people to help. Don't be shy. You can just kind of make a circle around the outside aisles and the front and the back. I trust you to share with your wife there. thank you for all coming this evening. I hope you have a Merry Christmas tomorrow. And share with everyone why we celebrate. It's not because we get to open packages. It's not because we get pretty gifts. But it's because the Savior of the world was born. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you again for just the opportunity you've given to us tonight. We pray that you would just watch over each person as they travel home, and that you would bless each person as they celebrate Christmas tomorrow. Again, Lord, we thank you for the time we've had together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.